What's up, world?
All right, what's good? It's Sky. I'm Fly. I'm straight out the A. Currently in the Wild West. Hey, that's not even hay. Sand. Mm. Whatever. Rust and flesh in the Wild Wild West. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sills. VA all day. Two up, two down. Chilling in Los Angeles. It's been a busy week in the sports world here. So let's probably talk about it a bit.
All right, and who are we? We're Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two black women's perspective on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
And lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things black women.
Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to talk about, I guess briefly, the U.S. Women's National Team friendlies and other things that happened during the break, international break.
Yeah.
Then I guess this NWSL footprint, then y'all will hear audio from Gisele Thompson's media day as she got signed by Angel City. That'll include interviews from Angela, Hercules Magano, Alyssa and Gisele's parents, Karen and Mario Thompson, and then adult interview with Alyssa and Gisele.
Yeah.
And then some hits and riffs. And I ain't got no rants because we ain't gonna do that this week. I'm not doing it this week, well, for this episode, but
okay.
But we can get into it next week. Anyway, what happened?
So yeah, we're coming off of an international window, so league play for all of the major European leagues and a few other leagues, the Japanese league and a few others, resume this weekend. And we're recording this on Saturday. They already have. We had City versus Villa Women today, and we have a slate of WSL games tomorrow. Barcelona play today, and Real Madrid. I won't talk about that one. But needless to say, we're coming off the international break. There was a Nations League, which we'll talk about in just a moment, but the U.S. obviously had their final two friendlies of a very interesting 2023 against China, and the games took place in Fort Lauderdale and Frisco on one was on Sunday.
And the other one was
like a Thursday.
Wednesday,
right?
Thursday, one of those days.
Wednesday, Thursday, something like that. Yeah.
Yes, Thursday.
So with this roster, obviously, bought in a lot of inexperienced players, mostly young players, but not all. I think Lindsey Horan is the only player with 100 or more caps to be called onto the roster. And we kind of deployed that to see what it was like. I believe the first iteration of the roster included some combination of, I honestly forgot, it's been so far off. I know Horan and Sonnen started in the midfield. The back line pairing included Dahlkemper and Garma, who played together at San Diego. Kruger was out on the right back side, and Emily Fox was the left back. I believe your midfield was Horan, Sonnet, Lavelle, Rod, this is 2019. And then the front line was Sophia Smith, Trinity Rodman, and Ashley Hatch, I believe, yes. Nope. That was second game. Sophia, Trinity.
And Jaden.
Yep, that was it. That was it. So, yeah, and they ended up winning the first game 3-0. I believe we had one goal in the first by Sophia Smith on the lovely connection with Trinity Rodman. But as Sophia said on the broadcast, we could have scored quite a bit more. She herself being one of those people. I know you're supposed to talk about it, but I said on Twitter, it's not just Sophia. This team has the yips. And I think that's pretty understandable considering what 2023 has been, which is excellent defensively. The U.S. didn't technically lose in 2023. It's one of those fun statistics because penalty kick shootouts don't count as losses.
And it wasn't, it was Savannah DeMello.
Oh, was it DeMello on the assist? Oh, in the midfield. You were correct. It was first game. DeMello. Did she push up high? What were we playing in that? It was a 4-4-2.
We were playing a 4-4-2, but they kept
shifting. We decided it was a 4-4-2. Yes.
It was a 4-4-2, but they kept shifting different people And then it was like more so 2-3 at the back.
And it was more, and when they did 4-4-2, it was box. It wasn't diamond. Yeah, there was a lot of shifting, which I think is probably that first stamp of whatever conversations are being had with Emma. I don't know how much influence she has at the moment with her inability to sort of come physically and, excuse me, and be able to start to teach out those things. But there is at least a plan, an organization. And I think I heard this on Diaspora, which hilarious episode this week. It looked like they knew what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah. So like even like the fullbacks were really more so in the midfield. They occasionally brought back occasionally drop back to defend, mm-hmm. but it really at times was like 2 or 3 at the back. It wasn't no.
Yeah, everybody pushed up. It was very much overloading the front line with four or five players at a time.
Lindsey Horan was actually like a 9 at one point.
I mean, that's where she wants to be. Bless.
Yeah, people were attacking. It was the formation did what it was supposed to do and not the nonsense we've been experiencing hell for the last 4 years. Let me rewind that. The last 4 years of when or in a tournament, because even with the veterans, it was like we did one thing pre-tournament, as in the Olympics, and then we got in the Olympics and then blackout threw everything out the window. That worked. So yeah, this is the first time in a long time they actually knew what they were doing. Fullbacks were wingbacks. Because even Midge, people were freaking about her being a fullback. She definitely was not defending nothing. She was attacking.
I know people get very nervous with the frequency with which particularly black players are converted from strikers to outside backs later in their career. And I know it's happened to Midge before. But I don't think that's what this is. I think she'll be a wing back. And I actually think it's incredibly smart to have your... Sorry?
Yeah. I said, no, go ahead. Yeah, yes.
Oh, I think it's really smart to have, for my money, your best 1v1 player start from a bit deeper and be able to run with the ball at her feet at attackers and either shoot it or create, which is what she did in that first game when she came on.
Yeah.
For the last goal, right? Yeah.
Yeah, or even with Casey Krueger, she can shut down people 1v1. So she did that frequently and was able to be an attack.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, she kept pushing up.
So, I mean, it was good. Yeah, they knew what they were doing fluidly in game one.
Correct. And it's still a work in progress. But again, it looks like something now, which I think has been the cry from U.S. fans.
But, I remember. Sophia Smith could have had, like,
had
easily 4 to 5 goals. Trinity could have had 3. Like, that score, they should have beat the crap out of.
It's a finishing issue. Like, we have a goal. It's not our defending. Again, we are statistically are the best we've ever been defensively. We have a goal-scoring problem. And some of that's finishing and efficiency in front of goal, I think. That's why Mal was so successful, and Mal ended up being the leading goal scorer for 2023.
Yeah. And then even with Mia had 2 chances she should have had goals on.
Yeah, but the difference when it's Mia Fischel with her hold up play and what it creates.
Yeah.
We've been starving, fam.
Yeah.
For no damn reason. Sorry.
Yeah. And then we witnessed that in game 2 where it was like, oh, Lord, are we regressing back in time? They had some little adversity because China scored first.
On a set piece, which defended one of those since like 2020. So that's fine.
Yeah. They weren't defending that well. like, you can't have a defender in Tierna Davison who already has on a mask that isn't clear.
She does have
trying to. To cover 2 players, I don't know whose other player that is that was supposed to.
No, it was no one's apparently. Apparently, no one was defending.
I don't know if they were doing man or normal or a combination, but somebody missed. And so
you're like, oh, that's my one.
But then the other person came through and scored. So, yeah, we can't have that. We can't be doing that. But
they decided to challenge themselves and just not defend the Chinese players on that set piece and make it harder for themselves. I don't know.
So then they had to get it together in the second half. They scored two goals. But I will say in the first half, it's literally like, okay. So again, we're going to have to figure out what's the game plan for various people. Because, yeah, it's different. When you, if you would have had Mia out there, this probably goes a little bit better. But
it was a lot of struggle. Yeah, because you can hold it up, and that might be the workaround right now in terms of, so you have the ability for Mia Fischer to hold up play and almost, especially lying when she does that, lying deeper, be an extra mid, like, to help facilitate and then run to catch up, basically.
Right.
Or we're going to have to take advantage of, like, our center backs and our outside backs, too. But our center backs are going to have to be able to dime it over the top. That's what Naomi Gurma did.
Yeah.
And so until that midfield attacking-wise and the ability to break, you know, lines of passes and or dribble around people, whatever that looks like, until we're able to possess through the middle, that might be what we have to do.
Yeah, because they were on some – they were on a struggle. It was weird. It was a really disconnected situation. They also looked tired.
And there were, seven changes from game one to game two. So it was a lot of players in game two who genuinely hadn't played together, and it looked like it.
Yeah. But, hey, they did it. They figured out how to score two goals. Jaden got a goal.
Sam Coffey got a goal. A really good goal, too. Yeah, who had Sam Coffey being the goal scorer? I thought she had a good set of friendlies. I think that spot is open. I think right now she's probably got a bit of an inside track. I think there are some other players out there. We got to see Corbin Albert for the first time.
Oh, good.
She got rocked.
Well, I'll say actually, I think so. I know people think Sam is still gonna have to put in work though, because I think as you get whoever other sixes Emma starts looking at, and NWSL season restarts, and whoever else internationally potentially could be in the mix. Like Corbin Albert looked good.
Yeah, once her face was okay.
Yeah, she looked good. Brutal. And like, there was like little sets of differences. So it's going to be interesting to see how she deals with that sixth position. And honestly, because of this crazy formation of what started off as a 4-4-2, 3-4-3, whatever variation Emma throws out at first, because it shifts so hard, it's really going to come back to Emma solving what the hell's happened centrally in the middle of this midfield, and making sure they can possess, but then also they can go fucking score. Because I think that's the biggest the difference between game two and game one, they should have put 12 on China. Or in game two, it was so disjointed and so all over the place that, okay, they got 2-1, cool. That was realistic. Where in game one, it was like, there were opportunities all over the place, but you won 3-0, but it should have been like 12.
Yeah. And I think it's a work in progress. Obviously we have an Olympic year coming up, right? And the next window isn't going to be until the Gold Cup. So they needed to see some people. So again, it's a friendly, it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of like record, anything like that. So I think they used the second game what you're supposed to, which is to be able to take a look at some players that you aren't going to be able to see again until February because they're out of season. That was the other thing. A lot of those players hadn't played in a while if they were NWSL players and hadn't played for like OL or Gotham at that point. And even then, those players have been off for a few weeks. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's heading in the right direction. There's very clearly still things we need to work on. It'll be interesting to see in the next few windows, again, how much of Emma's sort of stamp gets put there before her arrival physically in at the end of May. So, and we have a short window to prepare for the Olympics. Having said that, we now know a few teams that won't be at the Olympics. So the other major tournament, and before we talk about the Nations League, I do just want to give a shout out to the country north of us, to Canada. Christine Sinclair, Sophie Schmidt, and Eric McLeod played their last two games for the Canadian women's national team. I think the stadium was named Christine Sinclair Stadium in honor of her when they played there. And so just tip of the cap to three legends walking away from the game who've made that Canadian team better than when they found it. And it'll be interesting to see what Canada does this summer, as well as they will be our other CONCACAF team in the Olympics. Okay, sorry. Back to Nations League. We now know some of the teams that won't be going. Group A in the Nations League is really the qualifying path for the Olympics, and so finishing first in your group gets you to the playoffs. And the final four teams in that playoff are going to be France, who's already qualified for the Olympics. So whether they win or lose their semifinal will determine which of the two other teams will go, two of those three. And then those other three teams are, besides France, Germany, Spain, and the Netherlands. So how did we get here? Well, Sweden crashed out last round with a 1-0 loss to Switzerland. So for the first time since the Olympic Games started for women's soccer, Sweden will not be in them. They are the reigning two-time silver medalist and have not missed a major tournament, I believe, before now. So sort of the end of an era, and secretly United States fans probably pretty happy they don't have to see them anymore. They are the thorn in our side. But yeah, they crashed out in spectacular fashion, and it wasn't necessarily Spain being in their group that did them in. And then the other big result, we said the Netherlands are going through. So the Netherlands and England were in the same group. England, of course, was tasked with finishing first to qualify for all of Team Great Britain. And the drama at the end of those two matches, England goes up 5-0. They're still going through at that time. The Netherlands score 2 goals, and then England is tasked, and then I think a third, England is tasked with scoring goal number 6 and does, ends up beating Scotland, who also would be a part of Team Great Britain, though realistically maybe only Aaron Cuthbert. They win 6-0. When that game ends, they know they're going through to the Olympics, and then in the very last minute of stoppage time, likely on the last kick of the game, Damaris Agarola, who could have been a United States player, scores for the Netherlands and best England on goal differential, sending the Netherlands to the Nations League playoff and knocking England out of the Olympics. So there's no England or Team Great Britain. There is no Sweden. There is no Norway. There is no Italy. And so three of those four teams will go through between Germany, Spain, and the Netherlands, and then France automatically, who might be the best team in Europe right now in terms of consistency. So that was the Nations League result. So yes, that's sort of the Nations League rundown. That those series of games will take place in February, the next mandatory international window, the same time that the CONCACAF Gold Cup will take place. We now know that the final for that will be in San Diego at Snapdragon Stadium. I'm going to pray real hard for a better pitch. By then no one else should be using it. So, should be okay. And then they have put out, I believe, a list of locations for the other CONCACAF W Gold Cup games. And sure, you can go to the CONCACAF site and look that up. But yeah, that's where we are. I have a brief, just what are you doing, CONCACAF, at the end of recording. But yeah, that's what we've got for that.
In terms of CONCACAF, a bunch of people, certain teams qualified. So Mexico. Yeah. Costa Rica, after scoring 19 goals.
That was, man.
They had to make up differential out of their group. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to risk having to go to the playoffs. Yes. So they jumped Haiti and qualified.
Right. So Haiti now has to go to a playoff, which they were guaranteed at least the playoff spot.
Yeah.
And they probably should go through. I looked at the teams they play.
Haiti, Guatemala. But, yeah. Guyana. Can't remember.
Okay, I guess we won't make it a rant, but CONCACAF, FIFA, whoever's responsible, why would you schedule qualifiers outside of the window?
Oh yeah, like 2 days before the window. Yeah.
So like teams don't have to release those players because it's not within the window.
Yeah.
And they need those teams need those players.
Yeah.
Shout out to a friend of the pod, Sydney Cummings, for bringing that to everyone's attention, but she plays for Guyana. Like, they need to come. It's like, yeah. That's not a...
And she can actually score. She's a defender. Right,
like, she's one of their best players. They really need her.
She literally almost sent them to the World Cup. Like, they literally almost got to the World Cup. They almost scored twice.
or at least qualified for the right to play.
She scored twice, and for they almost was like at the World Cup.
And that's a center back. Like
that's a center back. Yeah,
but you know what I mean? Like these are CONCACAF nations. Like there are teams that usually have one or two pros out there in sort of, you know, top flight or second flight leagues, and they need those players, and those professional clubs have no obligation to release them outside of a window. You're really hoping that the clubs are kind, but the clubs are there to make money. Like, just a really bad decision. You would never do this to men. You would never do this to men.
Yeah. Also, you're hoping that they don't have a game where it's not feasible for them to get there to the game and y'all are playing 2 days before the window.
Right.
So, I don't know what CONCACAF's doing. These games are all over the United States. There are some games in LA. Well, the USA
I think there was like four or five locations in the US where the games are being played. And the groups have been drawn, so obviously waiting for the playoffs to take place to complete those groups. But yeah, it should be really fun. Hopefully we'll get to be at a few of those games since they're in our backyard. So it's exciting times. But that's a breakdown of the international window. As everybody, like we said, as play resumes this weekend. And then the NWSL was busy this week as well. They dropped the 2024 framework, is what we're calling it, for the schedule. So they call it the footprint and competition count, schedule footprint and competition calendar. There will be 118 matches from next year featured on national platforms. And if you do not remember, during championship weekend, the NWSL announced the new blockbuster four-year media rights deals. So those networks will include Paramount Plus, CBS, ESPN, ION, and Amazon Prime. I get everybody? I believe so. They will take breaks, one for the Olympics and then one before, as mandated by the collective bargaining agreement. The season will actually kick off on March 14th, which is the day before the actual regular season starts, and that will be the new Challenge Cup. So the Challenge Cup is basically now the Community Shield, but we're going to call it the Challenge Cup, and that will be the winner of the NWSL Championship, which is the Gotham, which is Gotham FC, versus the Shield winner, which is the San Diego Wave. So that will kick off the season, and then the regular season for the rest of the teams will start on March 15th. The championship game is on November 23rd, if I'm not mistaken. It's just a week before Thanksgiving. So it will be a long season, keeping in mind that every team now has four more games with the two new teams coming in. So, it's going to be interesting. Oh, the other thing of note, the playoffs have expanded. So there is no more bye week. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hate it.
So there will now be eight teams. Yeah, you'll have quarterfinals and semifinals, then...
And then finals. So same amount of weekends for the playoffs, just no bye week. You'll have more games. Yeah.
Yes.
Which makes sense. The league's going to be 16 teams in 2 years, so half of your league going is probably fair.
Yeah, but we'll also be entertaining that, yes, your number one seed can get knocked out by the eight seed that might have been hurt.
Just get in is going
to
be the thing.
Or it could even be a thing where the expansion team that was wonky all season but managed to get the eighth seed. Yeah.
Yep. You just got to get in now.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's going to cause all kind of nightmares and chaos, but penalty kicks, good lazos, I'm here for it.
Yeah, nice chaos. So it's exciting. And there's going to be, as yet determined, we're calling it the NWSL tournament, I guess, that will take take place during the Olympic break, and it will involve the NWSL teams and, quote, other international squads, unquote.
So if it then becomes Liga Meki Femenil in there, give me this League Cup that's going to be chaotic. Because, Mexico's not going to the Olympics.
Neither is England now, and neither is Sweden.
Several teams aren't going to the Olympics. And to be quite frank, since they might use this tournament to get youngins experience, because in another era, we did not do that. A lot of superstars who thought they was going to the Olympics might be at home. So this could be a really chaotic situation that you need to play it in Los Angeles so I can see it.
Okay. All right.
That very well could pop off for whatever cup of life of whatever crystal, whatever. Ally, UKG. Did I say it right? UGK?
Yes, you did. No, you said UKG is right. UKG is right.
Nationwide, whoever. Sprouts, whatever, whoever's trying to sponsor it. Charlie, Adidas, Nike, whoever. Whatever y'all doing to sponsor this tournament. Yeah. And give out, what, $50,000?
I don't know. I feel like the money could be real nice, particularly to incentivize teams. Keep in mind, again, England's out, Sweden's out, Norway's out, Italy's out. There's several countries that the vast majority of their players will be available. Yep. And either the Dutch, the Germans, or the Spanish will also be out. So,
right.
Because it can't all go through. So, yeah, it's going to be super interesting to see who they get. It's preseason for a lot of those teams. Sweden will be in season with us. But outside of that, all of those teams will be in preseason, so it might be a really good warm-up for some of those teams. I don't know if they're going to do international, like national teams. I don't know if they're going to do club teams. Like, I'm not sure what this format's going to be. But I believe it'll be chaotic. That I do believe.
Wait, so then who is... So France is guaranteed, then who... How do they decide the other two teams?
So if France wins their semifinal game, then it is the team that they face in the final and whoever wins the third place game. If France does not win their semifinal, it's the two teams in the final because it's still its own trophy. So France is going to try to win because France has never won a trophy before. And it's a good warm up for them. And they're looking real dangerous and they're getting real healthy. But they're because they're guaranteed, they're just doing this because they're trying to beat everybody. But that's how they determine it.
Okay. So yeah, so that's great. It's great. Several people might be at home. It ain't coming home.
It is not coming home. They don't seem to care that much, but that's fine.
Allegedly, we all of a sudden don't care. But yeah.
I don't think the Brits care about football in the Olympics that much, unless it's the men winning. So I don't know.
I mean, it could very well. I mean, if we could get all the sippy cup of lives that are gonna get got off between CONCACAF over the next few years, we might reach that point over here. Because it is hard, because you only have 18 spots on the roster, and you're playing ungodly amount of games. And
the women only have 12 teams, and the men have 16. Right. That does need to change. I agree. But please do not yell at me about your qualifying. Y'all qualify.
Please. Please. Okay. I need that to be for real. Oh, yeah, because they were mad because your favorite team got knocked out. They should have been winning their damn game.
There should be four more spots for teams, and all of those spots aren't going to UEFA anyway. So, one more.
That's fine. Please. Well, I need y'all to be for real. At least y'all weren't playing in the summer. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Earning up and paying before you have to go to the World Cup. And then after coming from a World Cup, having to go play in a qualifier again. Like, that could have been y'all. Please. I need y'all to be real. Anyway, well then, it's a good time for a break. So in the next swath of audio, you're gonna hear we'll just take a step back. So this week we actually went to Gisele Thompson's media day because she got signed by Angel City. She's now 18. And Alyssa are the first sister combo for Angel City.
Second pair of sisters in the league.
Well, yeah, but they're the youngest.
Yes, they are the youngest. Yes,
are the youngest. Yeah. Gisele signed. I guess late November. It was announced.
I think it was like the Thursday before her birthday. It was literally. Yeah.
They announced her this week. Actually, it was funny because I did a little preview video.
Everybody picked up on it. Everybody's like, "Is that why is
they
there
did a they they did a preview video where they were like saying, "Go get your jerseys. There's a sale," and they had Alyssa Thompson's jersey, but instead of just being Thompson, it had an A. Everybody's like, "What is going on?" And then the next day, they dropped the full video introducing Gisele. So they did a media day at Nike LA. We went, and so again, we got to talk to Angela. We got to talk to Alyssa and Gisele's parents, Karen and Mario. And we actually got to talk to Alyssa and Gisele. So you're going to hear these different interviews. First is Angela. Then the next will be Karen and Mario. And then Alyssa and Gisele. Yeah. Any thoughts you want to give before people hear?
Sure, like it's always cool, I think, for players to get that kind of welcome, right? And sort of being shown that they're, you know, wanted and that people are really excited. I think particularly for a player that young who's, I think it's a hard decision. Like, listen, they're going to make a decent amount of money. so it's not, it makes it a lot easier, but it's a hard decision. We're dealing with young people, right? As somebody who works with people that young people that age quite a bit. It's a lot. And so I think they went out of their way to really make sure that, you know, she felt welcome. She got the you know, sort of the star treatment that I think most players deserve. But yeah, really cool, really big family, really supportive. You know, very much in line with some of the things we talk about in terms of soccer culture in this country. So, yeah, just a really cool, really unique day. And I really enjoyed interviewing the parents, for sure.
Great. And yeah. Alyssa and Giselle were fun.
Yes.
And they are funny. So
they are very much sisters, and they're very young. It reminded me, they're really young.
Yeah. And also, take note to what Angela says. You'll also hear what Angela says in regards to a playlist, because it's that time of year.
Oh, yeah. She is requesting another playlist.
And I'm tripping. We also got to talk to Allie Riley.
Yes, we did. We got
who did us a solid. Who did us a solid and
talked
really to
us. We really appreciate that. Like, yeah, like, that was really awesome.
She wasn't there. She stopped by because to see her little homies.
She talked to us on her day off. I appreciate that. So
we really appreciate
that. So we got a bonus, Allie Riley. Shout out to her.
So you'll hear all four of those interviews back to back to back. Angela first, then Karen and Mario, and then Alyssa and Giselle, and then Allie Riley. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing. How you all doing?
We're here. We're surviving.
It's December. It's December.
It
is.
Finals week. It's all that other stuff.
Right?
I'm looking around. I see all these high schoolers, and I'm like, should be in school. But
I'm like, how did all these high schoolers get out of here today? It must be a Friday.
No, it's finals week.
Yeah.
All right, so we just have a few questions for you. We know, thank you for your time. Like you said, we know it's been a busy, busy time for you.
Yeah.
So I guess I will go first.
Yes.
So I guess first, lighthearted question. Do you all plan on having another prom-themed game?
You know what? I'm not thrown off by a lot of questions with that one. time will tell. Okay. You know what? I think... if this is something that Giselle feels like she needs to get her game ready, I'm not saying that's what happened for Alyssa, but
okay.
If it's all good and fun, I'm all for it.
All right, that sounds good. Let's see. I like to start you off with a word of one. Would you like?
So you weren't prepared for that one.
Yeah.
So I guess the second question is, is Angel City going to continue to like scout young talent? Because this is the second sign-in that y'all had that's really, really young, particularly since there's so much talent in the backyard. I guess, what are you looking forward to in terms of particularly using Giselle and the system in the upcoming season?
Yeah, I think we are going to continue to scout talent, full stop. That includes young talent. I think it's also about how we can look in our own backyard, because that brings so many benefits as well, right? I think when we look at the Thompsons specifically, what comes with that, the family, especially when you're thinking and looking at younger talent and their transition to the professional game, what types of things will keep them comfortable, help that transition be very smooth, and for each player and each individual that can look different. So I think being mindful of that is really how, especially when we're thinking about younger talent, scouting younger talent, how we are setting our environment up for those players, as well as what goes into it to make those players successful as well.
All right, awesome. So obviously Giselle can play multiple positions, but do you all sort of have an idea of where you're going to play her, or are you looking to use her more for her versatility in the system?
You know, I think what is brilliant about Giselle is that she does have versatility, which I don't think has been even tapped into yet, because right, there just hasn't been the time. Obviously, coming in as a defender is where we have recruited her for. However, in saying that, and ultimately not my final decision, up to me in terms of making that final decision, obviously it's Becky's call. I think Giselle has the potential to give us a lot of endurance in a midfield position, to be that attacking-minded back and defender that will play really well into our system as well. So I think that versatility is definitely very additive, even though we did recruit her for outside back.
Word. So as a midfielder, I guess one question that you definitely can answer. What's the biggest difference between this generation of soccer talent versus when you played? Particularly when you look at players like Alyssa and Giselle.
I think the biggest difference that I'm seeing is the ability for younger players to have a quicker transition at this level. I think if I'm looking back to my generation, if I'm thinking about myself, you know, there's perhaps more of an opportunity and runway to explore and have that development time. I think this generation, it's not needed as much. And I think that's actually how we are looking at bringing in younger talent and a way to distinguish between, you know, 16, 17, 18 year olds, 19 year olds who are able to come into the professional level. And it's not just on the field, it's off the field and emotional development and what that looks like as well, which Giselle has had an opportunity to be in this environment and have exposure to that and to get to know the players as well.
Okay. And I'll just ask one more last question. Just this offseason, how are you feeling with both this being the first year where there's expansion and free agency and just in your GM position and taking on more, building on your playoff success or getting into the playoffs? How are you feeling going into the rest of the offseason?
It's been hard, quite honestly. I think this is the first time we're experiencing not just free agency, but free agency and this expansion draft like together. Right. Ultimately, I'm fully in support of us moving in the direction of free agency. I think like any new thing and doing something for the first time and doing this collectively as a league for the first time, you know, I think there are growing pains. I think there are challenges. I think there are opportunities as well. But I think it's, you know, being in the space and time, which is finite, you know, with the time pressures and some unknowns and how you are approaching roster building with some unknowns, I think that just makes for a challenging setup. So I think it's been challenging. It's been hard. But I think growing and learning through it is ultimately what I'm hoping for. And, you know, to have the best possible outcome for our roster next season.
Oh, and one last question. So as we are preparing for the draft on the expansion and the college draft. What's your theme music? What songs? you knew it was gonna come.
I'm gonna say I need another mix, ladies. Okay. I need another mix.
Okay. What do you
my shea butter mix, my pump up mix to the games. Okay. I used it frequently except for when my kids were in the car.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. Yeah, we got you. We might get kid friendly one. So what kind do you need, like hype music? Do you need chill music? You need a blend?
I need a blend.
Okay.
And I think it's gonna be transitional. Like you know, a little bit slower into the hype and then bring me back down again as I need to like the focus, like that cadence.
Any runtime? Short, long?
Surprise me.
Okay.
She said long enough to get through that draft. That's right.
So long.
We're going to be there for like 8 hours. How are you feeling? It's your first expansion draft.
Yeah,
y'all were on the other side last year.
Yes, exactly. And I was in a different role too. I think, you know, just a lot of change, a lot of differences. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
So, yeah, we'll get you on for the expansion draft and then for 50 hours of the college hour.
Exactly.
That one takes forever.
Oh, yeah, it does. All right.
Well, I know you have a busy day.
Yeah.
You all as well.
We are ready.
We are. How are y'all doing today?
We're great. We're super excited.
Excited, happy, happy that you guys are here. But no, we're excited.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, you must be so very, very proud.
Very proud. Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, again, just always hard for us to process. Man, I have two of my daughters playing at home, Angel City, extremely proud, extremely excited, having the support, it's beautiful. No, it's beautiful.
That's amazing. Well, I'll let you kick it off, Sky.
All right, so, you know, we're Shea Butter FC, so we cover and uplift Black players in the game. So it's really dope to be able to talk to both of you as parents of Giselle and Alyssa. So I guess one first question is, how are you coping with two kids playing, as you said, on the same professional team in the city that I grew up in? Like, how are you coping with that?
I mean, honestly, I'm really excited about it. I feel like the girls have played in Southern California, like from all the way north to all the way south. And I feel like they've built a community of people and following, and that to be able to then have those followers see them transition to the bigger stage, I think in general is an exciting opportunity for the community to just kind of see what LA can produce, you know. And for myself and my husband, I think we're just like super excited to have both of these girls play together. And that's something that I've always enjoyed, watching them on a club level do that. And even in their high school, and how fun it was to watch that. And as a parent, I mean, I think you as a parent, you always like enjoy watching your kids play wherever it is. And then now everybody gets to see that is exciting, you know?
Yeah. And for them, they're not just sisters or best friends. So think about playing with your best friend for your job.
Yeah, that's dope.
Working
yeah,
out. So cool. Isn't it dope? Like, it's very cool. It's fire, right? Yeah, cool. So just think about that way. That's how I look at it.
Or is it because they are so young, how are you helping them balance like the work-life balance part? Because, yeah, you're playing soccer for fun, but like it's your job. So like how are you helping them in the process?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a work in progress.
Yeah, it's definitely a work in progress. Knowing that they are 18 and 19, and technically Alicia should be a freshman in college, and Alicia should be wrapping up her senior year of high school. They live at home, right? They share the same room. That time's eventually going to go to a point where, hey, I'm ready to take that next step in life, in adulthood. But right now, we can kind of help guide them as professionals, as a soccer player. So we're there to guide them through their journey, which is helpful. Rather than, hey, Dad, we're going to go to play in Europe. And, you know, that transition would be a lot harder than, hey, we're pros. We're at home. We're still living at home. So that transition is a lot easier. We're able to guide them through.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. And was it sort of less stressful this go around now that Alyssa's sort of been through this process? Was it easier to do this with Giselle? And then I guess additionally, how are you feeling about sort of Angel City's role in this and being able to help nurture them and develop their talent, right? Because they are soccer players at the end of the day. How has that relationship for you two been with the club?
Now I forgot the first question.
That's okay. Is it less stressful this time
around? Yes. As far as stress level, I think the first go around, we obviously, for Alyssa and ourselves, like we didn't really know what to expect. We had no idea, you know, but over the course of time, and this year has gone by, you know, my daughter got to sit on the sidelines, seeing everything that Alyssa, every emotion, every feeling that she's gone through. So I think she has an advantage, and she is able to kind of find the pros and the cons, and then and try to find strategies for herself moving forward, being in this situation. I think she's kind of mentally prepared herself for certain situations. So I think that's when she made her decision moving forward. I think she knows what to expect now, you know, whether it's good or bad or whatever, indifferent, I think she knows what to expect. And as far as Angel City, I mean, they've been awesome. They have really been such a great club and such a great club for the community as well. And I think they've facilitated and encouraged that interaction with our daughters and moving forward, knowing that it's going to bring the best out of them. So it's been awesome. They've been great.
And even Giselle going into it, her confidence is extremely high, knowing that she's trained with them almost for a year.
Right.
Her ability thinking, I've been there. I know what that looks like. I know who the coach, I know the team. So that's helped her confidence getting into it.
Okay. Right. I do have another question, because I always like talking to parents. I'm very fascinated by this. Did you all look at any examples? Obviously, in your backyard, there's the Williams sisters, and you have some other parents, like the Bellinghams, things of that nature. Did you look to, like, what were other parents doing, and what kind of parents do you think you are? Because I think sometimes people get saddled with the overbearing parent stage, you know, soccer mom stage dad, stuff like that. So
I think our dynamic as a family may not fit the typical professional athlete. Again, I'm only using my opinion, but I could be wrong. But growing up, Karen and I always wanted balance. We talked about balance. So I was probably the one of like, hey, let's go out, let's train. And mom is like, hey, they need to go in. We need to do some family stuff. We need to do some homework. So we always had that balance. Or, hey, Dad, I want to go with my friends. Okay, go with your friends. But now we also have to put in some work here and there. And that was kind of the tough part of, now I'm a pro. My balance is going to look a lot different. And so it wasn't just, yeah, hey, this is your job. You got to put in extra work to be good at great at your job. And that kind of made it a little bit more difficult for Alyssa because she always, we always stressed that balance part, but she had a tough time because it wasn't that 50 soccer, 50 friends, you know, it was now like 90% or 80% your job and 20% trying to figure everything else out. But no, as far as a family though, we value that balancing part.
We do. And as far as people we looked towards for advice or anything, to be honest, I think my husband always independently did his own research. And he gathered bits and pieces of information from people. And I don't think there was any one person that like gravitated to. And sometimes it was just experiences in club with other parents or, you know, that kind of guided certain kind of courses for our girls as well. But at the end of the day, we both grew up in kind of different. He's always been into sports. He's always had that athlete mentality from the age of 3, moving into college and everything. And for myself, it was so different. I was kind of, I naturally kind of found courses in sports and found my inner drive and desires in those without having so much support in it. But as far as like our family, I think that's where we both decided to just find balance because we had so different. We were raised so different in certain situations that I think we just kind of figured it out together.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And then one more question. So we're all about culture. Yeah. So are there any vibes, like any songs like y'all got for this kind of celebration that like now both of your daughters are playing on the same team? Ooh. Any music you listening to now?
We also have two adults now. So that's
Yeah, you got two adults. So
we always listen to music.
Always listen to music.
We love
so what
music.
Are the vibes in the Thompson household?
What are our vibes? Man.
There's a lot of neo-soul in the house.
Okay. We are all about neo-soul in that household.
Do you have a favorite neo-soul artist?
Oh, Maxwell's our guy.
Let's go.
Is that right?
Yes.
I want you guys to know we took the girls to Maxwell and Sir concert.
Yes. That's why they know. Okay.
And they love Sir. They love Sir.
Okay.
Trust me, that's all through the household.
But they love R&B, a lot of R&B. In the house too.
We actually love similar type of music, so you know when you're kids you think that they and a lot of the music that they listen to is like, man, that's like Guapole, like Sir. I mean, I'm not Sir, but you know, Guapole we're just listening to the same kind of stuff.
They listen
like
to a lot of stuff.
What's
going
on? That's what's up. That's
awesome. I love to hear it's all shared music. I love it.
I was gonna say y'all have some vinyls and stuff.
How did you know about that?
Because I've heard some of their music tastes, and I'm like, y'all know about this stuff.
It's all through the house.
Okay.
It's part of our culture. Music.
Okay.
It is. Got to bite you over.
Yes, you do.
I can see this family vibe right here.
Right.
I do want to say that I appreciate you guys just supporting us, them. Because you don't even have to come here and do this, but it is meaningful, and I hope you get a good vibe from them as well, though.
You've done a great job.
Yeah, y'all do it. That's for sure.
And that's the thing as parents where, hey, mom, dad, yes, they're amazing soccer players, but they're great people. Exactly. And that's kind of what we raised them to be, great people.
Yeah.
Word. And they just happen to be these amazing soccer players that who knows that
what's going to be
the end result to it.
The few times I've interacted with Alyssa, absolutely spectacular.
Oh.
You've done a very good job.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank
you both.
Yes, thank y'all for y'all.
And is Zoe the coolest kid in school right now?
Oh, not just because of that, though. Just because of
you know what? Zoe is just a sweet kid. If you get to know her, everybody's always like, oh, we love Zoe. She's sweet.
Appreciate you both.
All right, thank you. Thank you both. Thank you.
So first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And happy belated birthday, by the way.
Sagittarius, let's go. Let's go.
It's pretty nice to y'all. Oh, gosh.
Here we go. My birthday's Sunday, but go ahead.
All right, so just off, first of all, how are you feeling? You're doing a lot right now.
Yeah, it's a little overwhelming, but getting through it, and I'm super excited to have like all my family and all my friends here to support me, so it's definitely gotten better.
Okay, perfect. You have a lot of family.
Yeah, you really do.
They roll very deep. This is for our audience. So I'll start with this. It's a football question. So you've been playing right back for a while or outside back for a while, but you've also played CDM. What parts of that sort of central mid or center mid, holding mid position have translated to the back line for you?
Yeah, definitely like having awareness, because when you're in the midfield, you don't know who's behind you, who's in front of you. Where the through ball is, so having that awareness and also have communicating with like other players and having that communication, because I feel like I'm a pretty quiet player, but I think my movement and like how I play definitely is my voice on the field, if that makes any sense.
You're loud through your actions. I yeah. Like that. Okay.
Word. So then what's like your favorite position to play? Because you play different positions?
Yeah. Honestly, I think right back is my favorite position, because defending and attacking could be in like both of them. Yeah.
Okay. So like you're looking forward to being able to do that for Angel City for the next few years?
Yeah.
Cool. All
right. So what were some of the deciding factors for you in terms of turning pro? And then what have you learned from watching your sister go through this experience?
Yeah, so turning pro, it was like super hard decisions. You know, Stanford has been our dream since, you know, day one, because Angel City wasn't even a club when we were, you know, still deciding on Stanford. So it was super hard, and it really came down to like having my family here and all my friends supporting and being in our hometown to, you know, make them proud and make our family proud. And something that I've learned is it's going to be hard, and you're still young, so don't be too hard on yourself, and just it's a journey, so have fun with it.
All right. Very good. Am I next or are you next?
Yeah, you're still going.
Okay, the phone's funky. So sorry. No, I asked. I guess in going pro, did you have offers from more than one club, and how did you make that decision?
I was talking with a couple other, but the decision was really on, you know, being in our hometown and having that family and support, because family's a really big part of, you know, our like decisions, because we're really close, and
playing with me.
Hey.
Definitely playing with
we're
Alyssa.
We're getting to you. Don't worry.
Definitely playing with Alyssa, because we haven't played together in so long, so we also have that connection, that bond, so it's definitely really fun to see. Okay.
All right, you are next.
So, Alyssa, what has been the biggest advantage for you, particularly because you went straight from high school versus playing in college? What have you noticed, I guess, what was the biggest advantage for you, like, playing? And then what was, like, the biggest challenge?
I think when I went pro, I was excited to, like, just be a part of Angel City in general. And then I also thought it helped me a lot going into the national team. That professional environment, like, prepared me for the national team environment.
Okay.
And even though it's both are like super competitive, like that, it just helped me a lot. And then like the challenge with that is just being the youngest and like having to make relationships with older people. And then also like feeling like I can be myself while being in these environments. But it's really nice that on the national team and at Angel City, like, really, age is just a number, and everyone treats you the same way because they know what you bring to the team, and like they know you're giving your all. And as long as you're just playing your game, then it doesn't really matter.
Word.
Very nice. And then for you, Giselle, you spent a lot of time training with Angel City last year. So do you feel like that's an advantage for you as a rookie? And do you feel like you built any like great partnerships while you were there?
No,
besides
yeah.
Your sister,
definitely. The whole entire team has been like so welcoming to me, and you know, I think they see my potential too, so they push me to work harder and be at my best. And I think Alyssa's gotten really close to Allie Riley, and she's been such an amazing mentor to me, because she plays right back too, like right left back, so she's been teaching me like her ways, and we've gotten really close with her, so she's been great to us.
That's very good. Allie's a good seat.
Yeah.
So that's very good. So you kind of answered that. I guess my other question would be, is there anybody you like taking on at Angel City, like when you're in training, like defending it?
Defending,
or attacking.
Well, yeah, I feel like I love like attacking and defending like everyone. I think everyone's a competition. Okay. Like, it's all a challenge, and it all like helps me like grow as a player and develop as a player.
Okay. Very Wait, nice. So then who's winning in the foot race between both of y'all?
That's the question. Okay.
I'm getting there.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm quicker, but you're like faster. Like, I'm good at my starts, and then you're...
You just skeptical. Skeptical.
I don't...
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Your face was great. It was fantastic. Scott, it's what it
is. I mean, are there anybody... Is there anybody in the league you're looking forward to playing against? Or am I setting you up?
Honestly, I feel like I'm excited to play against everyone. Like, it's going to be my first time, and first time taking on anyone and everyone. So... We'll see what happens, but yeah, I'm just super excited for the season.
Okay.
So this is gonna be a little long-winded. So not too far from here, there is another pair of sisters who went pro early. The older sister went first. The younger sister went second. So is there anything that you've taken sort of from the blueprint that the like Williams family has laid out, or just in terms of you know their athletic career?
Yeah, we've always looked up to them, like, since day one. Like, they're Black and we're, like, mixed, so we looked up to them so much. And I think they're such powerful women, too. So they influence, like, us and wanting, or we want to be powerful women and inspire young women to, you know, get out on the field. And it doesn't matter what age you are, how good you are. If you keep working hard, you'll get to where you want to.
And the fact that they're sisters was just... Yeah. Topped it off for us. Like, we looked up to that, like Serena and Venus. Like, we were just wow. Like, if we could get to that high of a level together, that would be crazy. And it's honestly so exciting.
That's awesome. And they're right from LA too, so hey, right. Everybody's from the same spot. Thank you, Tony.
So I guess some because I see we need to like wrap it up. All right, so a couple of questions for the culture. So we got a homie who's Peruvian, and we asked you this before. What was your favorite dish? What's your favorite dish?
Oh my God. It's this, it's like this,
breaded steak.
Yeah, this breaded steak. Our grandma makes it all the time when we come over, and okay. It's so good.
Word.
I'm going to bug her to make this then.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. I was going to make this. And then a last question. So, you know, people try to make your theme song, Alyssa, to be like Rich Flex. It's 21, yeah. Do something. I'm not about to do that song. But Giselle, what like song would you want for scoring? And honestly, if y'all scored or linked up together, like what song?
Celebration.
We have to think about
no,
that.
No, I feel like our celebration should be the one that one video that everyone keeps playing. The last video, like for our first one. Okay, that's fine, so good. And then my song. I feel like anything by Drake because I love Drake. So.
Okay. All right. That's anyway. What y'all listening to? Like, y'all listening to in the off season?
SZA?
Yeah.
SZA. Summer Walker. Okay. Brent Faiyaz.
Bryson Tiller.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
This is my last question. So, obviously, right now, you all have been called the Switchblade Sisters. Are we sticking with that? Because I feel like we might be able to do better. But it's up to y'all.
Yeah, I don't think we should. I think something different. We didn't come up with that. Yeah.
We can workshop it with the community. All right. We'll see what they can do. But something, not the Switchblade Sisters. All right. That's good.
All right.
That's all cool. I got.
All right. That's it. Yeah. Well, thank y'all.
Thank you.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Deep breaths.
Wow, I feel powerful already.
Like mom and pop shindig over here. We're trying to work our way up in the world. So obviously we've gotten to talk to both the Thompsons, the parents, and both Giselle and Alyssa, and your name comes up quite a bit as a mentor. So what has that been like for you sort of working with first Alyssa, and now you'll be able to help guide Giselle, and obviously you all have the LA connection, the Harvard-Wesley connection, but what's the experience been like for you helping teenagers through?
Oh my gosh, you know, to me, they feel like family, and so when Alyssa came into the team and we had so much in common, it was natural that we kind of were drawn to each other, and she's so talented, and I forget how young she is, I think, and no, to be able to step outside of that sometimes and think about what it must be like and to have that empathy and then just try to give her any not even advice, but just confidence, and hype her up and remind her how much she's loved and how important she is to the team and how valued she is. I think it's something that all players need to hear, and it's an important thing to give to your teammates, I think, but especially when someone is so young and doesn't have any peers really on the team and didn't have the college experience. I think she is in a really unique position, which makes me, of course, even more excited that Giselle is coming in and they're going to be such a dynamic duo and they'll be able to have each other and, you know, might not need me to hang out with them anymore, but I'm going to bug them. Yeah.
Big sister. Yeah,
I think it'll be so awesome for them to have each other, and Alyssa will be able to pass her experience and her wisdom on to Giselle. And then if they need a 36-year-old to tell them a few things, then that's where I'll come in.
Nothing wrong with being in your 30s. Nothing wrong with that at all. And speaking of Giselle, obviously you all play a very similar position. So are you looking forward to sort of working with her and teaching her the ropes of being a pro?
I mean, she is so good. I don't think she needs much guidance in that area. I think she has proven with the youth national teams, and she's been training with us for so long, and she fits right in. I mean, that's what makes it so easy to forget what stage of life they're in, because they're so damn good. Right. And Giselle will fit in so well. I mean, she honestly tears it up. Offense, defense, I think she can really play pretty much any position.
Okay.
But yeah, I learn a lot from her. So I'm personally excited because I can see what, you know, the confidence and her ball control and her skill that's, you know, I was taught to kick and run. Yeah. I didn't grow up with the kind of coaching, and I mean, shout out to everyone that they've worked with. And I definitely didn't have that. And I feel like outside back was not a position when you were young that like you learned the nuances of, or the tactics, anything like that. And I see her and I'm so impressed. And I think it's really exciting for the game to see someone who can play and like specialize in a defensive position so early. And when she has the attacking capabilities, the same as a winger, the same as an attacking midfielder, but using that at fullback, I think it's really cool. It's exciting to see the game change, you know?
Right.
Absolutely. So I guess, cause we don't want to hold you with your time on your off season. Do you have any music you listening to? Actually, hell, if y'all score, if y'all get some scores in, you got a theme song for scoring. Actually, are you going to make a deeper further.
Do you have a celebration plan this year?
Yeah.
Celebrations are all the
because it's going to be a lot of scoring.
Lowest up the bar real high for everybody. Now,
so. She did. I lose my mind when I score.
Okay.
And I think that's the beauty in my celebration is, and I'm very emotional. I'm so obsessed with the club. The girls give me a hard time because I'm always like, I love this city. I love my team. I love this club. So I get a lot of grief actually for being so passionate, but I think the kissing the crest and just for me honoring the crowd and really being into the club, that's always at the forefront of my mind and everything I'm doing. So I think that comes out in the celebrations, but that being said, if I could get Alyssa and Giselle to plan a celebration, then I'm in.
Okay.
Okay.
And I had some up my sleeves, but, you know, you kind of go to the players who are more likely to score, not trying to, like, doubt myself, but, like, the forwards. The forwards should be scoring.
They should be, yeah.
And I had some ideas. And Claire Emsley was a bit hesitant. You know, we had the cooking one. We did, like, the saw and the we were baking. That was an ode to her fiancé.
Okay.
We had another one where we, like called each other, but it didn't really get on the big screen. So we might have to do that one again.
Okay.
The dancing. Oh, we had the snowflake. Like we've had some good ones. It just kind of comes organically. Ones.
Right.
Until I'm scoring maybe like 4 or 5 goals a season, I'm not sure if the planning of the celebration is going to be.
Okay. But even as a defender, what if you got, was there like a song or something, or hell, even a celebration if you stopped the goal or made a defensive stop?
You just get so much adrenaline. It's like goalkeepers too, when they make a save. You get up and you're like, oh, and everyone's like high-fiving you and we're like chest bumping each other. Like that's kind of, because then the other team has, if you block it, they might have a corner kick. So you can't shut off. It's not like four words, best job in the world. They score. Everyone is celebrating. The game stops. The game pauses for them to walk back to the other. You know, the game is still going. You make a block, the ball could drop to another player and they could score. Like, there's no glory in being a defender.
No, there isn't. And honestly, just for you, obviously you said kissing the crest and everything. How does it feel to see this young talent be LA talent? Like, what's right, it like too. Seeing the LA talent coming through?
It's so special, not just being LA, but being women of color, being mixed race, representing different communities, being from such an incredible family with a great story. There's so many things that people can identify with,
yeah,
and their values, and just, it's so important for young girls, for young people to have role models and be inspired by people like these two sisters. And I think it just opens up people's minds to what's possible.
Right.
Even if you're not young, to see someone in their hometown living their dream with their family, it just gives you such a great feeling that you can take into whatever you do for a living, whatever circumstances you're in. I just think it gives energy and positivity and representation, and that is so important.
Sports come a long way from when you started as a pro, hasn't
it? They really have. And we have a long way to go. But seeing them and the resources they have, the conditions, the game, the condition of the game now when they're really starting their professional career, I'm just so happy for them. I don't have like an ounce of bitterness or jealousy. I'm so happy and I'm so proud because I know I've been a part of pushing and making things better. And I think celebrating the small wins is what gets us through, especially the veteran players who we won't experience what the game is like in hopefully 10 years, 20 years, 5 years even, right, you know, for some of us who are, you know, 30 plus. So I think celebrating where we are now, where we get to with every new CBA negotiation, with every new young player who gets a big time contract. I'm so happy. I'm proud.
All right. Wait. Okay. Now.
Uh-oh.
What you listening to this offseason?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I am someone who really fixates on a song and I listen to it over and over and over again. My Spotify Wrapped showed that very clearly. A bit
Did
obsessive.
You share that out?
Just to my close friends.
Okay.
And you know I was
going to
share.
What song?
Okay.
If you want to
so
share.
So Jack Harlow, love, like I can't get that song out of my head.
I'm in the same boat.
It's just
I like
on
that song.
Repeat over and over.
It's a five. It's
Let's see. I like a little bit of everything. So I love Motown. Like, depending on my mood, I love cooking to Motown.
Okay.
And then I'm a Swiftie. Like, and proud of it. Like, okay. I just can't. What is she, the most powerful person in the world for 2023? I don't know. She's
Time person of the year.
She, exactly. Same thing. Yeah. No, I think when you see how Beyonce, how Taylor Swift are actually, like, affecting our economy, and they are women, and I'm like, we are bosses, and I love that. I'm an emotional gal, if you haven't noticed. What else? I like a bit of Bad Bunny. I like Drake. I don't know. Honestly, I was driving a car that I could only listen to the radio. And that makes you really kind of, you like everything because you can't choose. Yeah. And I think that's kind of me as a person, just with like, I make best with what I have. Okay. Everything, like, I appreciate a little bit of everything. But I like really upbeat. I'm not like a slow kind of indie emo type. I want to move.
All right.
And I want to feel positive. So, yeah.
Word.
If you hear me listening to Billie Eilish, it's like, is she okay? even SZA, it's like, are you okay? I'm not like sad girly. I'm not sad girly music. I like SZA a lot, but I'm like, I don't need to be in my feels.
It's
like,
emotional.
I want to be bumping.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah. Well, that's it.
That's all we have.
Thank you, Allie.
Thank you so much for doing this. Like,
that's okay.
And now we're back.
Yeah, hopefully you all enjoyed those interviews and learned something. So that was our goal, and we're excited to see what not the Switchblade Sisters will do.
Yes, we were not calling.
We got to come up with a new name for them. They were pretty adamant about that one.
Yeah, they were adamant. That was funny.
They were like, we didn't pick that.
We're like, nope. But yeah. So speaking of music, Angela, as you heard, needs a playlist. So people, if you got playlist suggestions, leave them in the comments when you write and review our episode. Where are we at? I guess we can hits and riffs.
Yeah, that's where we are.
I don't really got no hits and riffs.
Okay. Well, I stuck to the holiday theme, so.
Only one. So I will say, the Tall Ones forgot to acknowledge this song. Oh, Christmas Tree.
Okay.
Andre.
With Andre as the Christmas tree.
That is my fault, actually.
It is. Well, that isn't my fault. They said he was hiding behind it.
Yeah. No, because what happened was, they didn't talk about this in the episode. Basically, what happened was, somebody
on purpose,
had mentioned
Andre doesn't
tree.
Want to talk about it.
It don't matter. Somebody mentioned a Christmas tree, and then it was like, well, Andre about as tall as a Christmas tree. And I was like, hey, what if you made him like the star? And then somebody was like, he's like standing behind a Christmas tree. And particularly the Rockefeller, that's the one, that Christmas tree. But even still, I mean, Courtney is like tall as the Statue of Liberty. They both tall. The same thing. But anyway, all they had to say, they were in their episode, The Gardening Tools Are Upset. You know, the hoes
really
are mad. Quotation mark. The hoes as in the Baton Rouge version of hoes.
Oh, wow. Okay. So French. Wow. Francais. Okay.
Francais. A version. Celebrate for France.
Oh, sorry.
Wow. 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 You sound like the dude from All That.
I grew up on All That, so then Escargot.
Wow. So I was gonna say, they should have mentioned OT Genesis, Everyone Mad, because that is what the flavors that everybody, because all kind of people was upset online.
I also like Jill Scott's Hate on Me, also fits the narrative right now.
Because, I mean,
we should just make a hater playlist at some point.
Yeah.
Well, and shout out, listen.
Too much money.
What?
Shout out, listen, we love Ashley Lawrence. I think she is perfect. But that article when she said to me, y'all get everything.
she was so mad. So
she was so upset, and she should be because she came in Chelsea for MA. Shit. She was like, y'all get everything. God damn it.
Yeah, she was so salty because you came
we
to,
do,
you
though,
came to London. Yeah, you came to London for this shit, and then now you got to deal with Emma playing you in the same freaking federation. Yeah,
right. Like she got to see her all the time now. They mad.
Yeah,
and I get it. If I was not from here, so listen, sports is the only time I'm patriotic, guys.
Yeah.
But to me, that's funny. It's such a flex. It's such a flex.
Same thing with Sam Kerr. Sam Kerr was like, I hope she's successful. The hell? What the hell?
She said no.
She was so upset. Like, what the fuck? Why are you coaching international football?
And why that team?
Why that team? Yeah, I feel it.
And to that I say, good. Good.
Yes. Stay mad, because remember, everybody.
Everybody mad.
Hey. But anyway.
That was very funny. Sorry.
And then I got another one. I got a song.
Okay.
This been stuck in my head. Not this one. Hold on. Let me pull it up. Where is it at? Hold up. Jesus Christ. I got another song.
Okay, I believe you.
That one. Actually, that was Allie Riley's little song. She said she'd been listening. Actually, he's got a 5-beat. This song, I don't really like Jack Harlow. I said what I said, but the song kind of funny. If you listen
I'm
to the
argue with you.
If you listen to the words, it's kind of funny. Cause he'd be like, I know y'all trying to just chill and wait till the next track, but get up and dance.
I've not heard it. So, but again, I'm an old, so
no, the beat is fire. The beat is fire. But if you actually listen to the lyrics, it's kind of funny. And it's like, I respect you as a rapper, recognizing people don't be vibing with you. But you like, you know, this is a fire song. Get up and dance.
Yeah.
It's fire. It's fire. And then, okay. I mean, other than that, I don't even know.
Okay.
Some little ratchet something.
Some little rat. Okay. All right.
Whatever. Red Light Special by TLC.
Oh, okay. Wow. Wow.
There.
You got something to share with the class? You all right?
It's almost my birthday. I can do what the hell I want to. So
it is. Okay.
It's a holiday.
It is.
But yeah. I don't even have. Well, I mean, because in theory you could do this plank. We're not doing that one. But yeah, that's my hiss and riffs.
Okay. Mine are a lot less salacious.
Wow. Salacious. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do write. I know words. Mine are Christmas songs because I finally started playing Christmas music.
Go ahead. I got another
song. In my feelings era, I have Every Year, Every Christmas by Luther. I think it's Big Luther. I think that's Big Luther era. Luther Vandross. And then What Do the Lonely Do at Christmas?
Wow, what the fuck? Emotions. Okay, wow.
I like sad Christmas songs. Forgive me.
What the hell?
I like sad songs. I don't know. Every Christmas. I mean, if you didn't, I feel like Luther got played in my house every Christmas. So I don't know. Like Temptations, Luther, Aretha, like there were just certain albums that got played.
I mean, I'm ready to hear my mom blast the Luther Vandross.
I mean, it's Luther. Christmas it's the tape. Older black women and Luther is just an inseparable combination.
So I've been slipping on my pimpin'. I do have two Christmas songs. Hold on. Sleigh Ride. Okay. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, I thought about that one.
Was this like Pebbles era TLC?
Okay. All right.
You knew that was coming. Mm-hmm. And then my other song, because it's not Christmas. So
they didn't get paid for it, is what you're telling me? Okay.
Okay, sorry. Don't do that. My other song, because it's not Christmas, it's not Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg, until Quad City and DJ Boys get in. They ask the question.
Hey, player, what you gonna get for Christmas?
Hey. Wow.
What you
gonna get that for? Hey.
You gotta get you some. What you gonna get that girl for Christmas?
Free
week. Oh, sorry.
I don't know what's happening.
Yo, this is a classic. It's not Christmas until you play that. So
the NBA Carabao Cup is over.
Who won? Oh no.
Yeah, you know the answer. You know the answer. Godspeed to you this night.
Oh no, the Lakers won.
They won by a decent amount.
I am not a Laker fan.
No, you're not at all. That's why I'm like, you know the answer.
Well, I mean, they get that one little cup. They gonna have a parade. It's gonna be really annoying.
Cup, baby. Yeah.
They won the little sippy cup parade.
Oh, they about to be like, has your team won a trophy? Oh shit.
Yeah.
Most important trophy. Here we go. Lord Jesus. All right. Lakers fans, I love y'all most of the time except for NBA season. All right, I'm done.
Yeah.
Oh, are you not going to get me to root for a Lakers fan?
That's
sorry.
Why my phone is on Do Not Disturb.
You might as well, because, they're about ding, to be ding, real ding, ignorant ding, and loud.
They're talking about a parade because they couldn't have a parade during the freaking COVID, whatever.
Oh, Lord.
Well, at least somebody in LA won tonight. But, I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
And what is it supposed to be like that? I'm just saying they lost France.
I mean, that's real. It ain't a lot.
So shout out to the crew. While we're here, we can just go into the race. Shout out to the crew.
Yes, shout out to Columbus crew. Shout out to Ty.
Yeah. Lord Boss Ty. Man. Boss Man Ty.
Yeah.
He cannot be Lord Ty because they won a trophy.
He can. Yeah. So shout out to them.
Ah, so you listening, can I get my crew beanie before the price goes up?
And I think Gergo just dropped a Nagby hoodie. So if y'all want those, y'all can go to FTC as well.
Shout out to Brother Coach, first black coach to win MLS Cup.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought a black coach had won already. So congrats. And
congratulations.
Then, and congrats to Darlington Nagby for my money. One of the essential MLS players for sure.
Hold up. Dante Washington, I guess he's also a coach with the crew. Oh, he's a rector. Shout out. And then Wilfred Nancy. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's Coach Nancy. Yes, it's the
So Coach Nancy, shout out. We gonna turn up. We gonna turn up with you in January.
Yeah, and they get All-Star. Yeah, he'll be there. And then hopefully at the convention. And then, yeah, they also, Columbus also gets the All-Star game. Yeah. MLS All-Star game. So it should be a very interesting year and for them.
Yeah. And they got Empire State Building to light up.
But the same amount of time that, never mind. Took off, dude. Man. Woo.
We're going to roast all y'all teams in the next episode.
One day. Yeah, we'll come back around to that.
We're going to circle back to y'all. Don't you think that we're done with you.
They praying for free agency right now. They need something to happen. Yeah. Okay, well, so shout out to them. And then speaking of Los Angeles.
Yes.
$700 million.
Yeah.
Not a real number. That's not a real number.
I mean, baseball makes that.
It does. Baseball is definitely. Listen. I've been trying to talk my nephew into baseball for years, and he just refuses. I'm like, sir,
it don't got the vibes no more. It don't got the vibe across the sport no more. In Atlanta, yes, and
they're trying. The younger black players are trying to bring.
Yeah, they're trying, but it's not. It's hard. Yeah, that's the problem. But yes, he is getting paid. Well, he should be getting paid. I have a whole rant actually next episode about.
And this is for Shohei Ohtani. If people aren't aware of who we're talking about, he just signed a blockbuster $700 million 10-year deal with. The Los Angeles Dodgers. So he's like the rest of us. He's like the rest of us. He didn't want to move. It's a bitch to move. He didn't want to do it. So,
I knew that when they said his house is in Long Beach.
Yeah,
I
was not moving.
He's not moving. Are you serious?
Moving is a pain. I don't care how much money you make.
They were cracking a joke that he's probably driving in circles around the traffic circle in Long Beach. You know where that is. If you know it. Yes. It's a huge traffic circle. And I was like, if he lives over there, then if the Dodgers got a hope, they can sign him. And then I was not surprised this morning when that got announced. So shout out to him, because actually that would be dope. They still not going to go to the, well, he is out this season because he had Tommy John surgery. Although it will be interesting if he can come, if they keep him on roster and then they bring him back for the postseason. But I mean, I still expect the Dodgers to mess that up. I just need the Braves to sign who they need to sign so they can beat the Phillies and win and lift the trophy. Okay. That's what you're doing it for. You're doing it for the people who hate the Dodgers and the Yankees. That's it. That's where we at. So
okay. I mean, listen, baseball is better when they're Dodgers and the Yankees are the evil empires. So, and I think sports are better when you can hate New York and LA. I need New York to step their game up. Because it's really easy to hate LA right now. They're holding up their end of the bargain, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that that's that. And then, obviously, we had the college football playoff selection. There's a lot of feelings there. But yeah, shout out to Torrance's old Sarkeesian. I lost my mind when I found out that man was from Torrance. Explain so much.
Yeah. Well, shout out to those who made the playoff. I will roast you people too on that committee. I forgot about what happened to Florida State. Florida State got messed over.
Alabama better win. That's all I'm gonna say.
Alabama better win. Florida State and Georgia will be in the we don't really want to be here Orange Bowl in Miami. To work through their feelings. They will prance and dance, but the millions of dollars they will get for playing down there, those both them teams will play. But they expand to 12 teams next
year. 12 teams. That's too many teams, by the way.
Which I don't know how they're gonna do this to get to 2, but I guess they'll figure it out. Yeah. Shout out to all the people playing in the bowls in the next couple weeks.
Bowl season starts next weekend, basically, right? Yeah, like, usually starts right around Christmas time.
Yeah, and then also shout out to those who are entering the transfer portal. Remember, prom ain't too hard to find. Prom ain't hard to find. Keep 2 upright. That's for Alexandria.
Okay.
But Georgia Tech is available. Georgia Tech's going to. They're not going to the Super Bowl.
They are going to a bowl game. And we have the potential for Mac Brown to get mayo dumped on him. That's always very fun.
That's probably
it. I really wanted it to be Dabo, but Mac Brown's a pretty good consolation.
And then, yeah, shout out to all the other teams, whatever, around the world. We will be back. Because we will be back actually soon, because there's a NWSL expansion draft. The NWSL is waking up.
There is a expansion draft on Friday at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, goodness. And it's all virtual, so there's no singular location. Each team will be beaming in.
Wow.
Virtually, yeah. Listen, Trekkie for life. Live long and prosper.
It's probably going to be like, because the last one was like 2 hours. It's probably going to be stupid. It's probably going to be, no, it was like 2 or 3 hours. Okay, so we probably
only a few teams have made protection moves, so like there's a legit draft coming. Like, they're going to be picking players.
So unless every team gets safety on by Tuesday, the 12th.
And it doesn't seem like the strategy right now.
Yeah. Unless everybody gets protected fully, then we're going to have a for real draft. So names are due and the 12th.
Those rosters on Tuesday are going to be real fun. There's going to be some names missing.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Some names will be intentional because they're going to dare you to do it.
Some teams are going to pull the OL reign with Megan Rapinoe and be like, I dare you.
I dare you.
It's more than one team, for sure.
And I don't think Utah in the Bay at least don't have Louisville energy. Oops, I called
it. I think we learned our lesson. I think taking players that don't want to play is not a good idea.
Right. So, yes, we will talk about that as the list drops, as the expansion draft happens. And yeah. So, that's that. Who do? We shout out 2 cents, all y'all, everybody. Mm-hmm. All y'all people. Yes. It's a lot of y'all. Shout out to the street team. Shout out to our patrons.
Shout out to our sponsors.
Sponsors, Galpal Sports, Carolyn Needles.
Yes.
And yeah, more content to come. And what are we going to do? We're going to stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
We're going to make sure the Black women in our life are celebrated.
And make sure our shea butter bombs, like Jaden Shaw's, are always elevated.
Word. Wait a minute. Hers wasn't elevated. It was actually
was crossed. Was it on the ground? Damn.
Yeah.
Right. I'm so tired, fam. I'm sorry, Jaden. Listen, it went in. It went in. No, she hit a banger and it missed. That's what it was. And then she kicked
it on the ground. That's why I was like, oh shit, that was smooth.
It was the first one that she made. That's why I was counting.
I guarantee you the goalkeeper saw it and was like, dang. But yeah. Shout out to you, Jaden. Salute. Anyway. Yeah.
She got the tide.